Trek Hunger. It's better than ever. I'm lean, I'm mean, I'm clean, I'm serene.
Getting fans riled, looking at strong style. People stand up and chant loud when he walks down the aisle. 100% high for talent. Rebels on the mat, high flies and does that magic.
How's it going, listeners? Chris GSP here, web admin for PWPonderings.com. We have a very special guest today. One Drake Younger. Drake, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, Chris, man. I appreciate you having me on here on PWPonderings.com. And want to say hello to all the awesome wrestling fans out there worldwide.
Absolutely. Of course, it is unfortunate we weren't able to get Barry Murphy on the line as well. But quick shout out to him. Of course, his article about you. You know, we appreciate you plugging it and enjoying it as well. When I was introducing you, I actually didn't even know what to introduce you as anymore, because I wanted to say the psycho shooter, the deathmatch gold boy, but you've essentially retired from deathmatches. And from what I'm told, it occurred obviously in WXW. I was told that it was a crazy match. And I guess the obvious question, you know, just get the elephant out of the room. Why did you decide to stop deathmatches?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, first and foremost, I know Barry wasn't able to make it on the show, but I did want to give a shout out myself personally to Barry. Barry, you did a fantastic job in that article, and I greatly appreciate the attention to detail that you paid, and you just really just kind of painted a wonderful picture of the scenario that I was going through, and it was, you know, just really, really touching, and I think a lot of fans enjoyed it, and people in my family enjoyed reading it as well, so that was definitely awesome. So big shout out to Barry Murphy for sure. The last death match I was over in Germany just about 2 weeks ago, and there was a number of factors kind of going into why I decided to close that chapter of my professional life. I've been doing death matches solid for 7 years now. And I'm very, very proud of everything that I've done on the deathmatch scene. You know, it contributed to me being able to go around the world and have many tours and this, that, and the other. But I had nothing left to prove on that part of the game. You know, I won Tournament of Death and won King of the Death and, headlined ECW Arena doing death matches and headline Cork and Hall in a singles match for the BJW Deathmatch title, you know what I mean? Won tournaments in Germany, and there just really wasn't much else to prove. I'd done a lot of the Japanese deathmatches as well, and knocked it out of the park doing those. You know, so I didn't have anything to prove on that. I've really made, especially in the past year, I've really made a name for myself as a regular straight-up wrestler, And I could always implement the hardcore stuff, and I want to get that out of the way as well. There's a big difference, at least in my estimation, a big difference between hardcore and deathmatch. You know, deathmatch to me is anything that kind of stabs your body and causes you to bleed. You know what I mean? It's pretty simple in my estimation as well. You know, hardcore is, you know, falls along the lines of tables, you know, chairs, trash cans, you know, the cinder blocks, you know, scaffolds, stuff like that. That's hardcore extreme wrestling for me, and that's something I'll always do, because that's kind of my favorite kind of matches to do. You know, and I was talking with Tommy Dreamer about that last week as well. Death match kind of falls along the lines of thumbtacks, glass, barbed wire, panes of glass, stuff like that. so that was one of the reasons that I just really didn't have much else to prove, and I'm trying to move along further in my career. Another big one is, I'll put it out there, is it's really risky with your health. And I, I've spoken with Nigel McGuinness on a good handful of occasions, and it's no secret that he contracted hepatitis B, and he was telling me about the dangers of that, and I just kind of looked into it more, and there's been, there's been scares and stuff lately, and for me, it's not worth the risk, you know what I mean? I've had, my blood tests are all clean and everything, so I feel like I've been dodging bullets, you know what I mean? And it's just not a risk that I'm willing to take anymore. As a lot of you know, I'm married, and I have a I have a beautiful baby girl who's getting ready to turn two, and so I got a lot I have to look at and examine more than just myself and where I'm at with wrestling. You know, I got a family to take care of. I got a daughter who's growing who I want to, you know, I want to be around and be an active part of her life, you know, for the rest of my days on this earth. And I just don't want to take the risk of, you know, hepatitis or HIV and liver failure and all that stuff. And even for, you know, a four-figure payday, it's still not worth it to me, the risk, you know. And so that was a big reason. And I'd sat down with my wife and we had a nice lengthy conversation about it. And as a unit, you know, we decided, because we decide things together. You know, we're pretty good tag team. You know, we decided that it was time to pull the plug on the deathmatch stuff. And you know, and since being out here in California, it's been fantastic for us. And I also had a conversation, a text message conversation with Dean Ambrose, my boy John Moxley, and he was like, yeah, man. He goes, you've more than put in your time and that stuff, dude. He goes, yeah, it's not worth the risk. So we decided, hey, I got this death match book coming up with Masashi Takeda from BJW. It's at WXW in Germany. It's also under the CZW umbrella. You know, I figured the WXW Germany crowd would be an absolute perfect place to do it. WXW is also, they're finished, it was going to be the last death match that they were going to promote, because they're kind of, it's funny, they're stepping out of the game as well as promoting him, because I guess they don't want to take the liability either. So I figured, hey, why the hell not? Let's do it here. And man, it was just a perfect atmosphere. You know, I don't use the word perfect much when it comes to wrestling, but it was just an absolute perfect atmosphere. Me and Takeda just totally, you know, we really hit a grand slam of a match, and you know, everything was just great about it. And it was really emotional, man. I walked out to the ring, and it's kind of funny. To the normal person, this wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't understand what I'm saying. But you know, I walked out there and I saw the ring surrounded by light tubes and you know, glass and stuff, and I just kind of took a second and looked at it, and I was like, wow, man, all these hundreds of matches, and I'm going to walk into this, and it's going to be the last time, you know. And I got real emotional, dude. I was fighting back tears, and of course the crowd was just giving me all kinds of positive energy, and you know, I thought, man, you know, I made my name doing this, and I've had such a good time doing it, and I've worked with a lot of very quality, talented individuals, and you know, I really feel that myself, along with, you know, got Danny Havoc and other guys, you know, we really helped bring the deathmatch scene to the forefront in the past few years, you know, because we went out there and we did things different, you know. We went out there and we did athletic spots, and told cool stories, and we weren't just going out there punching each other and cutting each other. We put a lot of effort and a lot of thought and a lot of pride into the death matches that we did. So, you know, it was emotional, man, because just knowing that I was never going to fall on glass again. It sounds strange, but yeah, it was emotional. And after the ref hit the 1-2-3 and I got out and I was okay, just, you know, a bunch of little cuts, nothing bad. And I had a lot of pride, man, because I walked away from it on my terms, you know, with my head held high and with dignity, and you know, because a lot of guys don't get to, man. They're either forced to quit it or you know, who knows. But man, it felt great. So anyway, now it's, you know, it's time to move on, brother.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's an emotional tie. You know, you're leaving a chapter behind in your life that's been so important, and one that you've been, I would say, as innovative as anyone else in the deathmatch game. And it's kind of funny because this leads us to this weekend where you're going to be facing Kevin Steen in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And
yeah.
I mean, I gotta tell you, all the reactions we got, literally to a person, almost everyone was saying, they're expecting someone to die in this match. And then, of course, you announced, I'm not doing death matches anymore. Because, I mean, obviously, you have the reputation that you have. and Kevin
sure.
has the reputation he has, and just putting those two forces together, and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla were expecting, you know, just, you know, the matches you've been having, say, with Sami Callihan, you know, just recently, and, you know, Kevin
sure.
Steen, you know, he'll, you know, obviously he's a talented wrestler as well, but he also kind of likes to use, you know, the chairs and, you know, kind of the stuff spread around the ring. And now that we know that this is no longer your thing, you know, you're kind of starting a new chapter in life, that just adds a totally different element to the match. Because now I will say, you know, I'm 6 hours away. You know, I live up here in Sacramento, as do you. And it's
right.
it just feels different now. Because now I'm almost more interested to see what you guys are going to pull out. Because not that you guys have to prove that you're technical wrestlers, because you guys have done that in the past. But now that we know that that's the emphasis. Man, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna, you know, all these people are gonna die? And
like I said, you know, I'll make it clear, like I always be down to be a hardcore guy. You know what I mean? Hell, I just did a little scaffolding tables match last weekend. You know, so I'm always gonna get crazy out there. You know what I mean? My nickname's a Psycho Shooter, and I got a reputation to uphold in that regard. So, you know, Steen and I could totally get a little wild, and I presume that I will. You know, but yes, the emphasis on my career is the wrestling side and stuff. But with when they announced me and Kevin Steen, man, I was totally excited, kind of jumping for joy in a way, because I think it's kind of a perfect contest. It was like wow, he's a guy in PWG. He's been there for years and years and years. He's a guy I respect a lot, and he's risen to the top of the game. And, you know, he didn't follow anybody's certain blueprint or format. You know, he did it his way, and he made a lot of noise, and he's at the top of the game in the Indies, you know. And that's something to be very respected and very admired. And, you know, the atmosphere and the energy that he commands at PWG is fantastic, and you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, over the past almost year since I started there, next month it'll be a year that you know, I've fallen in the good graces of the PWG fans, and it's something I look forward to so much. You know, it's been 3 months since the last show, and I just been counting the days until the next PWG show, because man, I'm telling you, Chris, there's nothing like it when I hit that curtain, you know, at the American Legion Hall there and receive that crowd. Is just, man, I can't put it into words. I know that sounds cheesy, but I just cannot put it into words. The overflow of positive energy that happens when, you know, whenever I hit that curtain, man, it is unreal, my friend. It's moments like that I live for in this business, you know. Walking out there like that in front of that PWG crowd, so I just think the atmosphere itself will be something to talk about for sure. So, you know, we're gonna go out there, we're gonna do what we do, man. We're gonna be Drake Younger and Kevin Steen, and you know, we're gonna give the people what they want, man. So, yeah, what are we gonna do? I'm not sure, but we're gonna go out there, and we're gonna be Drake Younger and Kevin Steen. That's the best way I can describe. So.
It is. It's a different environment. I was lucky enough to attend one of my first PWG shows recently, and it really is. And that's why, you know, you hit that PWG crowd, and of course, you get positive energy from all the fans all across the world where, you know, that see you.
Oh,
but
sure, absolutely.
That environment, it is. It's different. And I see fans mm-hmm. You know, on the East Coast, and they keep saying, oh, man, why can't PWG tour? And to a degree, I almost always want to say, it'd be nice if PWG did, but it almost wouldn't be PWG, because half of the story to me is that crowd. And they're so...
Absolutely. That crowd and that venue as well, you know, very much. Yeah.
And I'm sure the alcohol helps people a little bit, just a tad. But
sure. Oh yeah, that always throws a little fuel in the flames. But yeah, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, man, they're outgrowing that venue. Why don't they go somewhere else? And this, that, and the other. But they, you know, everybody jam packed inside that hall. You know, it really makes for something special, man. And you know, and like you said, you know, the bar's right there, and people. I've never seen people buy full entire pitchers of beer, and then. And then the bartender had to get on the microphone and say, "Will you please bring back your empty pitchers of beer right. so we can serve more?"
Yeah. We ran out of pitchers. You know that doesn't
yeah.
happen.
Yeah, and you know people are filing in there for an hour or so after bell time is supposed to be because there's so many damn people. And, you know, a lot of times the shows go on until 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? They're there. They're with you the whole night, rocking and rolling, popping like crazy. And as wrestlers, man, that just fuels us to go out there and go even harder. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like you said, I don't think it would be the same if they tried to do shows elsewhere.
Speaking of PWG, you know, like you said, you've been there about a year now. One of the questions that we get asked is, do you still consider CZW your home promotion, or are you still, you know, with PWG now kind of being one of your mainstays, how is that working out, or do you still consider CZW, you know, home, I guess, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. CZW is where it was where I made my name, and it's where I CZW and I are synonymous, you know what I mean? We're a lot of people, when they think of CZW, they think of Drake Younger. They think of Drake Younger,
oh,
they
yeah.
think of CZW. You know, my first actual big break was in IWA Mid-South. And then that allowed me to get to CZW. And, you know, I've gone around, I was CZW champ for a year and a half and went around the world representing the company. And so, no, CZW will always be my quote-unquote home, for lack of a better term, like you said. But, you know, I'm an independent professional wrestler, and I got, you know, I got bills to pay, so I work where I can. But, yes, I'll always be synonymous with CZW, and I'm also a PWG guy, you know what I mean? I'm very proud of us quote-unquote combat zone guys, you know, guys like me, Sammy Callahan and Adam Cole, who made our name at CZW, but have gone out to the West Coast and made some noise at PWG. And, you know, you look at All-Star Weekend.
So many
you know,
debuts,
both nights,
my God.
Both nights, they were, Sammy, Adam, and I were, you know, in the main events, you know, and that goes to show something about CZW. It gets the reputation of just a place for blood and guts and no character development or anything like that. And, you know, I think we've kind of proven that that's not the case, you know what I mean? And so I'm very proud of what Sammy and Adam Cole and myself have done out there at PWG on the West Coast, man.
Yeah, and it's, I guess, as we close out this chapter of the death matches, another one of our questions, really, and it sums up quite a few of them all together. Any particular
sure.
favorite memories doing BJW death matches, you know, with guys like Kasai, Takeda, you know, Kobayashi, and Ito?
Oh,
you know,
without a doubt, without even thinking, July 30th of last year, headlining Cork and Hall, singles match for the title with Abdullah Kobayashi, man. That was a moment that I'll never forget, you know, because you have to understand, if you don't know much about BJW, I'll have to explain it very briefly. It was, you know, they don't just put, you know, foreign American wrestlers in singles matches a lot over there. And so whenever they start bringing us CZW guys over and they start putting me in big singles matches, man, that was a big deal. So that helped CZW a lot, and it helped me a lot. And then, you know, they wanted to give me a title match in the main event on Cork and Hall. That was huge because it had been such a long time since a Gaijin wrestler had wrestled in a singles match for the title. And, you know, we went out there and we rocked it, man. And I think we did light tubes and bed of nails and all that. But just, you know, the atmosphere was on fire. The Cork and Hall fans in Tokyo, that's like the real wrestling fans of Japan. And, you know, they were on fire, and we knocked it out of the park, and it was another one of those things where I was like, man, I felt super accomplished after that match, you know, because I represented CZW and you know, and showing that we could do some stuff over there. And so
legendary venue in and of itself.
It is. It's Cork and Hall, man. You know, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Harley Race, you know, everybody. That's Cork and Hall. You know? So, yeah, that was the moment I took in, and And I was just kind of riding that out for a while. I loved it. I loved it.
Well, you certainly aren't, you know, you're not taking it easy. You know, speaking of some events you have coming up, as I said, you're going to be in Supreme Pro Wrestling on the 16th. In Vendette Pro on the 22nd, if this is still going on, you're facing Sabu. So
yes, I am.
You're
absolutely.
You're not taking it easier on yourself.
No. Yeah. This Sunday, the day after PWG, I'm at SPW in Sacramento, Supreme Pro Wrestling. It's a company I love. I'm very passionate about. You know, ever since I moved here to the Northern California area, they were one of the first ones to book me, and you know, great locker room, very cool atmosphere, cool company. It's been around for 13 plus years, and I'm wrestling a very awesome young wrestler named Joe DeSoul. I'm not sure what kind of match we're doing, but it's gonna be a good one, man. Joe DeSoul, he's got a lot of passion, a lot of heart, and he reminds me of everything that's good, what a good, you know, young wrestler should have. So yeah, if you happen to be in NorCal Sunday at 5 p.m. SPW at the SPW Arena, 6200 McMahon Drive. But yeah, on June 22nd, man, I'm wrestling Sabu, my idol, the guy I looked up to and wanted to emulate, and that's in Lompoc, California, down on the Central Coast, man. I'm super stoked to be in there with Sabu for sure.
Yeah, I think it's nice to see, you know, you're working with a lot of promotions out here in California. One in particular I wanted to touch on was the Wrestling Cares Association that's happening in Gardena, California on the 29th.
Yeah.
You're facing a guy you face, you know, DJ Hyde. And
yeah.
It's funny because the promotion is all about charity work, and I encourage everyone to check them out, wrestlingcares.org, I believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They hold events, and it's for charity, a lot of different charities in that area. And you put yourself and DJ Hyde in a match, and obviously there's going to be, you know, much like Sabu, much like Kevin Steen, there's going to be certain expectation from the fans, but there you are at an event that is supposed to encourage people, you know, to be compassionate and to be gifted. And there you are facing DJ Hyde, and the first thing that came to my head was, didn't he just announce he's not doing any death matches? So what?
Correct. Yeah, this is true. Uh-huh. This is true.
But what do you feel like wrestling promotions kind of getting involved with charity work for one, and then of course yourself, you know, being a part of this, you know, you've helped evolve indie wrestling as it is as a whole. So now it's almost like you're giving back.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. The Wrestling Cares Association. It's something I'm very happy to be a part of. It's in its infancy at the moment, and you know, it's a year long. They're doing like a year long tournament gimmick called the Race for the Ring, and they're doing things a little different. And I remember I was contacted about it over a year ago by a man I have so much respect for, Mr. Les Thatcher.
Yes, sir.
Who's, you know, gosh, he's been around. He's been in the business since like the 50s or 60s, and like that's a legitimate number. And it's funny, you know, as you said, I got a reputation for the death matches and stuff, but he always picks out a match of mine from 2009 versus B-Boy at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia. He was there doing some seminar work for CCW, and he watched that match from 2009, and ever since then, him and I have really gotten on well, and I've been told that he even makes it a point whenever he does seminars to bring up that match, that particular match in 2009 with me and B-Boy, which is something I'm so proud of, because Les Thatcher, you know, we'll be honest, he's a little hard to impress.
Certainly is.
Yeah, he's
very hard to impress.
He's
not afraid to say it either. He'll tell you to your face if he thinks something is not up to par with what he feels is a professional wrestling.
Oh, totally. Yeah, so he's a part of the Wrestling Cares Association as a matchmaker booker, and you know, Nigel McGuinness has a large hand in it in the production, and then Mr. David Jackson, who's done a lot of charity work in Southern California and you know, the Los Angeles area, is the at the forefront of the Wrestling Cares Association. And they're giving a large proceed of all the gate and all the money brought in to different children's charities there in Southern California, and man, I just think that's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're spreading the love. I also agree. I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of promoters, you know, they make profit. Oh, that's immediately going to me. But here they are putting it out there. We're you know, they're at the first show, and they cut a check to a charity, and then when we were in Las Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley Club. You know, they raised some more money for a charity, and it's just a fantastic, fantastic thing to do, and it's a cool concept in my eyes as well. The actual tournament, you know, bringing in all these guys who are just known as workhorses in their separate territories and stuff to come in here, like, to do these matches. Like, you know, you're getting like matches that you would never see before, like Chase Stevens versus Johnny Gargano. You know, nobody else would bring that to you but the Wrestling Cares Association. And so I'm very, very grateful to be a part of it. And, you know, it's me versus the boss, you know, my boss from CZW, DJ Hyde. And, you know, I'll put this out there. DJ is a really great boss, and he gets a reputation for stuff he does on camera and stuff, but DJ's really really takes care of the boys, and he's really very approachable and just a fantastic person to work for, you know. Yeah, it might surprise a lot of you, but he's really a great boss. You know, when guys are hurt and need surgery, he'll pay him for their time off, you know, and he's just gone to great lengths and gone above and beyond to be a good boss in indie wrestling, which is, you know, a lot of times isn't mentioned in the same breath.
So, yeah,
you know,
no.
But I'm looking forward to getting in there with DJ. You know, we're gonna be something different from the show. You know, that we're the slobber knocker of the show, and we're gonna go out there, and it's for the first round. It's all Iron Man matches, so it's the most falls or most decisions that you can get. And for the first round, it's 10 minutes. All matches are 10 minutes. So we're going out there, and man, we're going hard for 10 solid minutes. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to it. And a lot of the SoCal fans, so this is how I'm giving back to you. A lot of the SoCal fans have walked up to me at shows and told me how they legitimately despise DJ Hyde for the things he says on camera and the things he does on camera and the way he is. So I tell you what, now's your chance to come out and see me kick his tail for 10 solid minutes, and he's my boss, and you know what? Who in the world does not want to just beat up their boss every now and again? And I will, and I'm doing it for my job on July the 29th in Gardena, California for Wrestling Cares Association. So, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's an exciting thing, exciting product. We're getting at it on the ground floor, and it's going to be cool. So please come out and support Wrestling Cares.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention, of course, you're going to APW. You're facing a guy that recently has become one of my favorites to watch, Mr. Dave Dutra. I think that's going to be a lot of fun in All Pro Wrestling in Hayward. But before we get to the questions that some of our listeners sent in, I got to ask you about something. And it's a video that, you know, we've been passing around on PWP. And it's you. Explain to me what Hood Slam is, because people are trying to tell me, just go to Oakland, Chris. It's worth it. What is so special about Hood Slam?
Yeah, Hood Slam is another thing that really can't be put into words, but I will give it my best shot. Hood Slam is a mix of of professional wrestling and 90s culture, such as Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, you know, video game culture, and it's all in a party atmosphere. And it's all mixed together into one beautiful concoction of just solid entertainment. And first Friday of every month, Hood Slam's at the Metro in the Metro Opera House in Oakland, California. I've been fortunate to be a special guest there on a number of occasions, and I'm returning there on July the 5th. And man, I Hood Slam. Has another awesome atmosphere, just like the PWG crowd, the WXW crowd in Germany. It's unreal, you know. It's like a rock concert atmosphere too.
Yeah, it looks like a mosh pit. That's the environment that I'm very used to. So I'm kind of like, okay, I can do
it's
that.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal, and you know, there's a lot of you know, outlandish characters. You know, one of my favorites is the the Stoner Brothers, and they come out, and it's like they're like the Steiner Brothers, and their gimmick is they're fueled by marijuana, and so it's funny seeing the Stoner Brothers. And then another one of my favorites, they have E Honda from Street Fighter. E Honda is out there kicking ass. It's very cool. A lot of great athletes, great shows. The last show I was at, I wrestled Brian Kendrick, which was something I was very happy to do. And you know, we went out there and we wrestled, and the Hood Slam crowd appreciated it. They appreciate good wrestling. They appreciate good entertainment. And it was fantastic, fantastic, cool atmosphere. So definitely check out Hood Slam. Get involved in the movement. Hood Slam's something special, man. They pack a crowd in there too.
Oh yeah, I've seen the pictures. I'm kind of intrigued. You make the drive, obviously, so maybe I should too. It's just in Oakland. It's not that far. It's not as far as PWG.
Sure. Right, absolutely, man.
All right, so why don't we get into some questions here that were sent in, and of course, we want to appreciate everyone sending them in, mailbag@pwponderings.com. We're going to try to keep these as unloaded as possible, but the first one kind of just hits at home. Who is your favorite boss to work for, DJ Hyde or John Zandig? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Yeah, I know, right? I'll always have gratitude to John Zandig. You know, he's the first promoter outside of the Midwest to book me and to give me an opportunity. And, you know, he's the first person to ever buy me a plane ticket as well, which was a big deal as a green boy coming in the business. John Zandig was super cool, and he was a great boss as well. Wasn't nearly as approachable as DJ Hyde, but I don't think that's on his doing. I just think we were all intimidated by him. But I can't really put a favorite on him because I only worked for Zandig for a few years, and I've worked for DJ Hyde since he took over the company in 2009. And like I said, I was more of a young boy when Zandig, even though I was in the main events and had a title and stuff, I was more of a young boy whenever Zandig was at the head of the company, and now I'm a lot more actively involved and on the phone a lot with DJ, and so I can't really positively answer that, but obviously DJ Hyde, I guess would, if I had to pick one, would be my favorite, but only because I work with him much closer.
and you get to beat him up too, so why not?
Very much so. But he could not pull off the leather jacket with no shirt and the skullet with water all over him and jeans, total 90s style like Zandig did. DJ High could not pull that off, so Zandig is awesome for that reason alone.
Yeah, that kind of epitomizes the 90s way back when.
Yes, sir.
All right, this person wants to know, what was your opinion on the Flyer Skate Zone as opposed to the arena?
Flyer Skate Zone is turning into something very cool. It's starting to become... we're starting to pick up some steam there, and it's starting to grow. But, truly and honestly, nothing will ever be the ECW arena. I mean, it's just that place and the whole ambiance behind it, and just knowing everything that's happened there. And it was really unfortunate that wrestling shows aren't happening there anymore. And man, I was so bummed to hear that happen. That's every wrestler's goal, my generation breaking in was, I want to go to Philadelphia, work at the ECW arena. And I was fortunate enough not only to work there, but, I main evented there 28 times, I think I counted. It was 28 times I was in the main event at the ECW arena. And that's bragging rights that I'll use for the rest of my days in this business, and that Philadelphia crowd there in at the ECW arena and I, we formed a great relationship, and I had a special, a lot of special moments there in Philly at that arena. So, man, I miss it so much. I really do. Every time I fly into Philly, and somebody picks me up at the airport, I'm tempted to have them, drive me to South Philly out of the way and take me by the arena, because I just miss it so much. I really do.
Yeah, I really regret never being able to make it out to a show at the arena, and now. Now that I was talking to, we did an interview with DJ Hyde right before Tournament of Death, and he was explaining that it's pretty much gone, and I guess he has photos of it, and he's talked to the new owners, and It almost broke my heart because I was like, I'll never have a chance. You know, never say never,
it is,
I guess,
man.
But pretty much.
Very heartbreaking, sure. Very heartbreaking.
All right, I'm going to group a whole bunch of questions in the one because they're pretty much asking the same thing. Do you have any want, I guess, or aspiration to ever work for Ring of Honor or go back to Japan for a different promotion such as New Japan or All Japan or I guess even Noah? I mean, obviously, we know all the rumors swirling around about Noah. But, yeah, I mean, have you thought about making an overture to Ring of Honor?
Oh, as far as the Japan thing, you know, I'm still a BJW guy. You know, they're not all death matches, and you know, they do hardcore and strong style and stuff too. And I'm still a BJW guy, and there's things in the works as far as me going over there for non-death matches as well. You know, that's I love BJW. That's the company I always wanted to work for in Japan. And, you know, I've never worked for anybody else in Japan but BJW, and they treated me very well. And, you know, I'm on a foreigner contract with them and stuff.
Ah, okay.
It's not like, you know, it's not like binding or anything like that. But,
right.
You know, I love BJW. And so as far as the Japan thing, who knows? You know, obviously everybody would want to. You know, we're going to make, you know, make some more money and stuff, and New Japan's like the WWE of Japan, and so, sure, I would love to go there, I'm not going to lie, but as far as now, as far as the near future, immediate future, you know, I'm a BJW guy. as far as Ring of Honor and stuff, absolutely, you know, I would totally be open to going there if the call came, you know what I mean, and it's Ring of Honor, you know. Be fantastic. You know, it's not something that's on my immediate like to-do list, you know, but if the cards felt right and if it happened, man, I would totally be open to it. You know, I get a good thing going out here with PWG and CZW and stuff, and would always would love to be part of Ring of Honor as well. So I work with a lot of guys that are there and stuff, so yeah, man, if it happened, I would totally be open to it, very much so. With me being a West Coast guy, I don't know how much that would work, but
the flights
the
and stuff.
Fell, the cards fell in place, man, it'd be great. So, and that's another thing I want to say right now. You know, I love CZW. I want to put it out there for CZW. Everything that I did for the company, and everything that I've sacrificed for the company. They are in turn, you know, flying me out here from the West Coast, and nowadays these flights are damn expensive, and they're bringing me out, you know, every month, almost every single month, and man, I'm very grateful for the company for doing that. You know what I mean? And that just goes to show you a lot of companies, they get a reputation for not having loyalty to their guys, but CZW has absolutely been fantastic to me, and they're bringing me out from the West Coast, and they feel that I contribute to the shows, and I think I do as well. You know, I think I bring something good to the table, but it also just shows tribute that all the hard work and all the blood, sweat, and tears and sacrifices that I put in there are, you know, they appreciate it and they respect it, and so that's something I think is pretty damn cool.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty intrigued. You know, the reformation of the Naptown Dragons, you guys going up against, you know, it's just it's coming together almost, and I think for a lot of the fans watching it. I still have yet to see Tournament of Death. I do have it on VOD, but I saw some of the pictures of that scaffold match. Crazy. As we've been saying, you know, you're kind of turning a new leaf in your career, but that took me back, seeing some of those photos. I will say that took me back.
Very much so, man. It's coming together great. It really is. It really is. You know, last month it. When Scotty came back, it's me and Scotty versus Danny Havoc and Lucky, and just this impromptu, this crazy cool fun match, and it was just it brought me back as well to where it was just nothing but fun, man, just a lot of fun and a great atmosphere, and I loved it, man. I love that place.
One thing I think may surprise a few of our newer listeners is that you've actually competed in Chikara, and in, this person wants to know about the time that, you know, you faced Brody Lee in singles, and then the Unstable Trios match from Chikara Soros Rex. You know, you teamed with the Osirian Portal, and I gotta say,
yes.
Drake Younger, Osirian Portal. How was that?
Oh, dude, oh, we busted out some dance moves after that match, and it was killer. I did the Fonzie dance move that he used to do in the diner on Happy Days. But I always had a great time being a special guest at Chikara. Very fun place to work, great product, did very well, and you know, like you said, I had a nice singles match there with Brody Lee, who's now Luke Harper in WWE, and you know, that's a match that still gets talked about a lot to this day. We just went out there and beat the hell out of each other. Well, he beat the hell out of me mostly, but it was a potato harvest out there, and it was a good time. And I always have love for the times that I was in Chikara, for sure.
Yeah, and Brody Lee, I mean, he's still a big, intimidating dude. You know, we've seen the vignettes of
bigger
him.
Bigger and more intimidating.
Yeah. And in high definition, that's the crazy thing.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, to bring it back full circle, all you know, coming back to PWG, as we said, big event this weekend. One of our readers, he just wants to know, how long did it take for you to get those thumbtacks out of your head after your match with Sami Callihan?
Oh, man. It took a while. It took a while. I forget which one of the wrestlers helped pull them out. I don't know if it was Ricochet or what. I think Ricochet pulled them out of my head. Gosh, I can't remember. Everything's so foggy from right after that match.
I can only imagine.
I had to go to the hospital to get that gash in my head sewed up. And, you know, going to the hospital on a Friday night in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles is not a fun thing to do, man. I was there. I got to the hospital probably 1 in the morning, and I didn't leave there till 5:30 in the morning. I was there all night, just sitting there in the waiting area with a hole in my head, you know, holding a towel in my head, just holding it together and waiting for my turn to get sewed up. And it was just a rough night, man. And I'll be honest, I was sitting there, I was like, man, dude, is this what I want? What's going on? You know, is this just really all worth it? And then I thought about how hard I've worked to get to that position in PWG, and I was like, man, hell yeah, this shit's worth it. This is nothing, you know. So I got through that night, got the stitches, got back to my hotel room at like 6 in the morning, and slept, and I couldn't hardly sleep either, and you know, because I knew that I had to main event the next night against Adam Cole in a wrestling match, straight up wrestling match. So man, the pressure was on, brother. But I like to think that Adam and I did totally delivered, and that's, you know, another one of my favorite moments I've ever had in wrestling was that match with Adam Cole on night 2. So who took the going back to the actual question? Sorry, I gave you a novel there. But going back to the actual question, I don't remember, because after the match, like I said, I had a ginormous gash and a hole in my head, and I knew I had to go to the hospital, and so I went to the back, and somebody got the tacks out for me. I think it was Ricochet. You know, I went up and I thanked Super Dragon and Excalibur for giving me an opportunity to be in the main event. Got my grabbed my bag and went straight to the hospital in my bloody gear. So. The minors of that, I don't remember.
Well, it seems pretty par for the course, and of course, I think all of us are enjoying what you're doing in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. So, as always, Drake...
I'm enjoying doing it, man. I'm enjoying doing it, for real. Anybody that's a PWG fan that's listening right now, I enjoy the hell out of going out there and wrestling for you guys, man. And all the boys in the back do. It's something we love, man. We really look forward to it. So, no, I enjoy the hell out of it myself.
Yeah, and it seems like you're gonna go after that PWG title. You know, I was watching your Twitter after your last death match. So on that note, you know, this is just one step closer. You're facing Kevin Steen, and I really do feel a win over him obviously puts you in that title contention for the PWG title. So Drake, we really appreciate the time you spent with us. As always, we like to give our guests the time, you know, to just let people know where they can find you on the internet, whether it be your social media or, you know, whatever it is you have. Let them know.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. Chris, I want to thank you for having me on, man, and I hope you enjoyed this interview, man. I've enjoyed doing it with you, man. It's just you're a breeze to talk to, easygoing guy, and that's something I really appreciate. You know, again, thank you so much to Barry Murphy for writing that fantastic article. You guys out there, if you haven't read it, please take a few minutes and read it on PW Pioneers, the article that Barry had wrote about me and me finishing the deathmatch side of my career. Yeah, places where you can find me. You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Drake Younger, 317. That's the area code for Indianapolis, Naptown, my home, where I'm from. So, yeah, it's at Drake Younger, 317 is my official Twitter. You can find me on Facebook as well. I'm under Drake Younger. It's facebook.com/Drake.G.Younger. But I guess I've reached 5,000 friends on there, so if I can't accept your friend request, it's because Facebook limits you to 5,000 friends. So I sincerely apologize, but I think you could still send me a message if you're not my friend on Facebook. I want to, make sure you check out czwrestling.com, support everything that's going on with CZW, CZW Video On Demand from RF Video, support PWG, all the great independent wrestling that's going on. we mentioned some of the shows that I got coming up. Also, June the 28th, I'm in Bell Gardens, California for IWL, Insane Wrestling League. Check them out on Twitter, IWL. And, the 30th, Sunday, the June 30th, I'm at the Pro Wrestling Bushido in Stockton, California, another great company that just books great wrestling. So check out Pro Wrestling Bushido in Stockton, California, APW in Hayward, California, SPW in Sacramento, California. Give those companies some love, and great places to work and great places to watch wrestling if you're a fan. So anyway, man, thank you again so much, Chris. I just want to take a second to send out gratitude to all my fans, no matter where you're at. You guys have really, made this wrestling career of mine something special. The love you guys show me is something I'll hold near and dear to my heart. As long as I live, whether you're in California, New Jersey, Indiana, Texas, Florida, Germany, Japan, no matter where you're at, I greatly appreciate all the love that you've shown me, man. It's so cool, and I'm truly blessed to be a part of this thing, man, to do what I do. So thank you. Keep on rocking in the free world, man. It's going to be a great ride. The future's bright, man. I see the future, and I think it's bright.
Yes, it is. And we always, as always, appreciate all the listeners. You can always email us, mailbag@pwponderings.com. Thank you once again, Drake, for all your time. And thank you, all the listeners. Thank you for your support, and hope you have a good week.
Exile brain damage through a hard fist to the chin. Drew a gallon of ooze from the forehead. A short thread of skin blows in the wind. It's dangling. Fear spine smashing from the Drake's landing. You got both of your arms locked in. Like David Lynch in the race ahead. All the huge cuts make you produce adrenaline. Gasping for oxygen. Breathe it all in. Take a bump like Gage where the tubes are sanding. The shit's